Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. Jesus is, the story is recorded here in these next few verses about the calling of the 12. And I think I will read this passage this morning, then we'll go back and discuss it. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now, one of the things that we see here that I want to comment on is in the 12th verse. If you do not take all of the Scripture, if you don't take the whole counsel of God, it is absolutely impossible for you to ever understand who Jesus really is. Not only who he was, but who he is. Some will read this and say, well, wait a minute now. You're telling me that Jesus Christ is God. If he's God, then he'd be praying to himself. Here. What would he be doing? This is evidence that Jesus isn't God, that he's just a man. Because how can a person pray to himself? And the Scripture clearly says that he spent all night praying unto God. Someone give a skeptic an answer for that.
At this point in time, he's a man.
Okay. Don says at this point in time, he's a man. Anybody want to add to that or contradict that? Barbara says he's God too. Does anyone want to contradict that or add to it? Fran?
Well, it's just that he didn't follow one. I don't understand that. I don't know how to explain that.
Okay, all right. Anyone else want to weigh in on this?
Just when I see the Father, do I do?
Well, how does that speak to the fact that if he's really God, that he could pray to the Father, to God?
Like I said, you know, the Scripture says that he humbled himself. You know, it talks in Philippians about him being equal with God. And said he humbled himself and became a servant and became a man.
Became a what?
A man.
Oh, okay. Now, Fran was onto something back there when she started to tell us about the Trinity. She started to tell us about one God, but manifested in three different persons. And so we have one God, but his nature and so on is expressed to us in the person of a Father, in the person of a Son, and in the person of a Spirit. Okay. Now, we understand that the Son, the person of God as manifested in the Son, became a man. He was always the Son, wasn't he? How old is Jesus? He's as old as God, Joyce says. Okay. He is, the Bible says, he's without beginning and he's without end. He is, in fact, the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. So he existed eternally. And on that day when he was, we talk about his birth at Christmas, it wasn't when he began to exist. It's when he took a body upon himself and became a man. Now, we have talked about, haven't we, in our study of Luke, that in Luke's gospel especially, Jesus is very concerned about expressing his humanity. And he refers to himself over and over again as the what? Son of man. Son of man. And he ministered, especially Luke shows this, when he was here on the earth, he ministered as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Michael said, from Philippians chapter 2, that when he came, he laid aside his divinity, didn't he? He didn't stop being divine, but he laid it aside. And he humbled himself. That means he yielded himself. He limited himself. Let me give you an example of what I mean. We know that God is omnipresent, don't we? That means God is everywhere at the same time. But was Jesus everywhere at the same time? No, he wasn't. He limited himself, didn't he? He put some limits upon him in order to accomplish the specific purpose for which he came. And so we have to be careful in dealing with any kind of scriptural principle that you cannot take one verse. You could take this verse right here if you wanted to, and you could develop a doctrine that Jesus was not God.
That's right.
So you must be very, very careful about doing this. And anytime someone wants to feed you a scripture that is you get involved with a cult, for example. You get involved with a Jehovah's Witness, for example, and say they don't believe he was really God. He's a good man, special man, all of that. They'll give you a scripture something like this. Well, how could he talk to himself? You don't understand what you're talking about. You don't understand the principles here. The point is that the way you interpret scripture is with other scripture, not with your intelligence.
I was just going to ask for some other scripture that would be good to write. I'd like to write beside my Bible. This is how. What are some scriptures that would be good to show somebody that he was praying to God the Father, and he is God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit? So, I mean, you know, is it that simple?
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to think of one scripture in particular that you might use in a situation like that.
I just thought maybe you had some right now.
No, I don't. But let's take a look here in John 17, verse 1 and through 5. Let's just read this is what has been known as the Jesus high priestly prayer. This is his prayer on the night he was betrayed. This would be a prayer he would have prayed in the garden before he was arrested. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now this is the Son speaking to the Father. Okay? That's what you wanted, wasn't it? As thou hast given him, that is the Son, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, we were together. I laid it all down. I'm coming back to you. Give it back to me, essentially. Okay? Does that help? Okay, let's go back then to Luke 6. So here he's praying all night. Now, what's he praying about? One of the things, apparently, that he's praying about is which of my disciples are going to make a part of, going to make up an inner circle for me? Verse 13 says, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now, let's look at the difference between disciples and apostles. The word disciple in the Greek is a word that literally means a learner or a pupil. The word apostle in the Greek literally means a messenger, a delegate, an ambassador, or a sent one. So he calls all of this group around him that are his learners, his pupils. The group that has been drawn around him because of his ministry and because of his word. And it seems obvious to me that in prayer, his Father is identifying those that are going to be the apostles, the ones that will be the special messengers, the ones into whom, while Jesus is going to minister to all who want ministry, he's going to pour his life into a small and very select group of 12. Okay? And do you notice here that one of the 12 is the traitor? Do you suppose that God did not know that Judas was going to turn out to be a traitor? No, he, of course he knew. He knows the end from the beginning. Certainly he was aware that Judas was going to be a traitor. However, he chose him anyway. Let's talk about the 12 here. Simon, whom also he named Peter, we all know him. What was his background? He was a fisherman. Okay, came from the town of Bethsaida, I believe, and Jesus took him off the boat. Andrew, his brother. In fact, it was Andrew who went and brought Peter to him. James and John, what do we know about them? Sons of Thunder. Jesus, that was Jesus' name for them. Boergenes, I believe is the word. Sons of Thunder. And what was their dad's name? Anybody have any duct tape? Donna, what was their dad's name? Introduce a little sobriety into this discussion for us, Donna. What was their father's name? Zebedee. And James and John, what was their profession? They were fishermen also. They were related to Peter and Andrew. They came from the same family. And then James and John, remember, these are the ones who with their mother came to Jesus and begged a special role in the kingdom. You know, let one of them sit on one side and the other one sit on the other in your kingdom. Remember that? And they created all this jealousy in the midst of the disciples. The apostles, we should say, apostles, since the Word of God makes that distinction. And then we come to Philip and Bartholomew. Do you know anything about Philip or Bartholomew? How about Philip? You remember anything about him?
Yeah, he was translated. I mean, moved from one place to another.
No, I think that's a different Philip. What's woo-woo? Oh, no, that's not a mistake. That makes a point for us today. That makes a point for us today. Let me ask you a question. What is this man's name?
Don.
What's this man's name?
Don.
Are they the same man?
No,
they're not. What's your name?
Mary.
This is Mary. What was the mother of Jesus named?
Mary.
Are they the same woman?
No.
Could there be two Phillips?
Yes.
Could there be 18 Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Woo-woo. Yeah, ordinary now. Wait till we get on down here a little ways and you see someone. Now, let me tell you why. Turn to Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, it's not fitting, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and so on. Now, it was this Philip that was translated. This is the one that Jerry had in mind, that he was moved supernaturally down to Gaza, and this is the one that preached in Samaria and saw Simon the sorcerer come to Christ and that great revival meeting that they had in Samaria. And this is Philip, the Philip that was one of the 12 is in verse 2. So here in this same story are two Philips. You with me, yeah. Joan?
Philip, you're talking about brought Nathanael to Jesus.
That's.
He was from the same city as Peter.
That's right. John chapter 1 is about all we know about Philip. And he was the one that brought Nathanael. Now, Joan mentions a man by the name of Nathanael, who we know is one of the, in fact, let's look at John 1 and look at the 43rd verse. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Jesus, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And so he became one of his inner circle. But now, I didn't see Nathanael's name in this list we read. And this is where we get fouled up. Let me see if I can make another example here. Let's see. I don't see
about Gerald and Jerry.
Well, that won't quite get it. I was thinking about that, but that doesn't quite do it. Maybe. Yeah, there's one. Your name is Gloria Jean, isn't it? And someone might call you Gloria, and someone might call you Jean. Good example. Same person, two names. How are you going to stay serious in a... How are you going to stay sober and alert and in a crowd like this? So Nathanael's not in the list. Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same person.
But Jesus didn't have fun choosing
me. Pardon?
You think Jesus didn't have fun choosing
me? Do you know what I know about Jesus? I know he would be a wonderful person to be around. We always make a big deal about the shortest verse in the Bible that says Jesus wept, but we don't make much out of, because there's not much recorded about the fact that he would laugh. But I know he laughed. Do you know how I know he laughed? Because he put his laughter in me. And also, let me show you something in Hebrews 1. Turn over there.
Just look at Claire.
I'm not sure I'm going to pursue that one. Hebrews chapter 1, talking about the Son here. Verse 7, and of the angels God saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. This is a good place you want to show somebody that the Son is God, that Jesus is really God. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Quoting the one of the Psalms here. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, I don't know why the Word of God doesn't give us many insights into the time of his life. But I see, when I see him, I mean, I don't see him visually. So some folks have had visions of the Lord. I've never had a vision of the Lord, but in my spirit, I see him, you know, like I know you all do see him this way. And in my spirit, I see this bright countenance and this depth, this just depth of joy and gladness and well-being. Just so much more than happiness. But it's expressed in that way, you know. Obviously there are times in which we see him speaking with a rod of iron and we see the flames of fire and so on. And the scripture says that our God is a consuming fire. But I tell you, the thing that I see is just this wonderfully, I can't put it into words, I don't know. Wonderful anyway. So, yes, I'm sure he did have a good time trying to decide whether he was going to call him Bart or Nat. Bartholomew and Nathaniel is the same person. It's by revelation. So. Now we move on to verse 15. It's by process of deduction. If you look at all of the references and all of the places where he called his disciples, and just make a list and put them down, and you will see how they match.
Before we get off the joyfulness, I wanted to tell you, you may have heard this about the disciples. If Jesus had gone about picking them the way the world tells them to do it, to run past the psychologist.
Oh, elect them. Yeah.
See if they're qualified, that none of them were qualified for leadership based on our worldly standards that we do. I mean, this is just a little parody, I guess. Like Peter was subject to fits of anger, so you don't want him in leadership. I can't remember all the different ones, but it's a real cute little thing. James and John, they were mommy's boys, so you don't want them in leadership. And then Matthew had a bad standing at the Greater Business Bureau of Jerusalem.
Bartholomew couldn't determine what his name was.
He doesn't even know what I'm saying. And there was only one in the world standards qualified for leadership there, and that was Judas Iscariot. If you found out each one and see what their background was, and I thought that was kind of cute. Jesus didn't pick them the way we picked them.
He picked them because of the revelation of the Father. Yes.
I mean, what about casting lots? I mean, that doesn't seem like that would be scriptural, but they did that.
Well, they did it under the old covenant. They did not do that under the new covenant. They did in the book of Acts. The last time lots were cast was prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1. And lots are never cast after that.
So how were they appointed? By the apostles, or what?
How or who appointed?
The leadership in the church. I mean,
yes, by the apostles.
By the apostles.
By the apostles, with the consent and the input of the flock. For example, the passage we just read in Acts chapter 6, the apostles said. Now the apostles had authority in the church, and the apostles said, "Look out among you and find six, seven men or a group of men who are full of faith in the Holy Spirit, whom we may appoint." And so the congregation said, okay, here are some guys, Philip and Stephen and so on. Here are some guys, and we think these would be good men. And then the apostles said, okay, we agree with that. We appoint them and put them in their place of service. Paul said to his followers as they went around, excuse me, as they went from city to city, he said, appoint elders in every city. Don't hold elections, but appoint elders in every city. And so it was done. See, the kingdom of God is not a republic, not a representative republic. Some people think that the United States of America, the government of the United States, is taken from the Word of God. It's not. It is taken from the Presbyterian Church. The Presbyterian Church is governed like the United States, and that's where our system of representative government comes from. But the kingdom of God is a monarchy, if you will, or a theocracy, and the authority does not flow up from the governed, it flows down from God. And if you look through the Word of God, it always comes that way. It comes through God to his representatives and then to the people. And if you get a bad overseer, it's not up to the people to get him removed. It's up to God to get him removed because he's the one that put him in there. And you say, well, how would God do it? Well, he dealt with Ananias, you know, pretty satisfactorily, even though Ananias was not a leader, you know, in the church. But God has the ability to do those things when he feels compelled to do so. All right, let's go back to Luke 6. All right, so we know, we found out who Bartholomew is. Bartholomew is Nathanael under the fig tree. Okay. All right, verse 15 then. Matthew, what do we know about him? Did he have another name? His name was Levi. And so when you're reading in the different gospels, you will see a list of the disciples. It'll say Levi. You say, where did this Levi come from? If you go through all the gospels and count up the number of apostles that Jesus had, you're going to get a lot more than 12. Thomas, what do we know about him? All right. Unfortunately, we know about his great weakness because of the fact that he was a doubter. But in John, he is called Didymus. Thomas or Didymus. Didymus means double or twin. Why?
Thomas.
Why?
Show me.
Oh, show me.
Prove it.
Uh-huh. Okay, that would fit. Now, here's another. Jesus had two disciples named James. Did you know that? Two apostles named James. He had James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, one of the sons of thunder, the fisherman. And then he had this other James, the son of Alphaeus. Let me see. I've got a reference here. And let me turn to it and refresh myself on what this means, why I wrote that reference in there. Because this gets confusing. Oh, yes. Look at Mark 2:14. I don't know what this means exactly, but I find it interesting. And this is something you really have to watch because you don't have so many since the Bible characters for the most part have one name, which is just their first name, it is difficult to know who you're talking about. And oftentimes they would say, like here, James. Now, not the James. We have James, the brother of Jesus. You know, Jesus had a brother, son of Joseph and Mary, named James. There's James, the son of Zebedee. Now, here's James, the son of Alphaeus. Look at Mark 2:14. Here's the story of Levi, and whose son is he? Now, we don't know whether they are brothers or whether there's more than one Alphaeus. See, we can't tell. But it does strike me as strange that Levi or Matthew should be referred to as, and no other place is Matthew and James called brothers. So we don't have it. We don't know whether they are brothers or not. Obviously, it's possible that they could be, but it would be only speculation. In fact, we know, I used Don Brown a little earlier. Anybody else know any other Don Browns? Yeah, see, here's a Don Brown. There's another Don Brown. Well, which Don Brown are you talking about? Well, you have to distinguish. When you say Don Brown, you have to say Jean's husband. Or we say Gloria's husband. Or we say married to Gloria Jean. Or we say the one that lives on King's Highway. Huh? Or we say the curly-haired one. Now, we have to have some kind of a description to identify who this is. But and you couldn't say, now see, suppose I said Don Brown, the fellow who's associated with Water of Life. Would that distinguish the Don Brown? Say it wouldn't. So in the Word of God, you could have son of Alphaeus. It may not be the same Alphaeus. So we don't know. Okay? All right, let's go back. I don't mean to confuse you. I'm simply showing you the result of my investigation. The next fellow is called Simon, called Zelotes. In another place, he's called Simon the Zealot. In another place, he is called Simon the Canaanite. And we think that that Simon the Canaanite is probably not the best translation, because these men we know were all Jews. Jesus called to him. He did not call a Canaanite. Most of those that have researched these passages tell us that that Canaanite is a translation for Canaanite. Remember where Jesus turned the water into wine, Simon the Canaanite. I don't know whether that's the case or not. It makes sense to me, however, because it would be difficult for me to understand that Jesus would call a Gentile to be one of his apostles. Then verse 16 says, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. How many of you know that there were two Judases? But now there's a problem here. Huh? Judas, the brother of James. But before we identify that, I want let's look at Mark. Let's look at Mark a minute. Chapter three. Is it Mark 3? Mark 3 and verse 16. Let's start at 16. Here's Mark's record. Mark 3:16. I don't know about you, but I have always been confused about these lists of apostles. Verse 16 says, Simon, he surnamed Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother of James, we know them. He surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, and here's Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Whoa, who? Thaddeus? Who's this Thaddeus? And Simon the Canaanite, or Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, they went into a house. Okay, now Thaddeus, here's a new character. Now turn with me to Matthew 10. You can hold your finger there if you want to. Got enough fingers? Luke 6, Mark 3, and Matthew 10. We're dealing with the curious today, not anything terribly spiritual, just informational. Matthew 10, verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus. What? Lebbaeus? Are you kidding me? Here's another one. How many does this make? About 16 now? Lebbaeus, but Matthew tells us that his surname was Thaddeus. So Lebbaeus and Thaddeus are the same. That helps us, doesn't it? Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, so we know Lebbaeus and Thaddeus are the same one, but Luke does not record Lebbaeus and Thaddeus. Who is missing from the Mark and Matthew list? Judas, the brother of James. So he has to be Thaddeus. Lebbaeus, Thaddeus, Judas, not Iscariot, okay, is the same person, okay. So when you're reading here, if you want to understand who the scripture is referring to, you must know some of these things. All right, now we know Judas Iscariot, and we know about him, and so we're not going to concentrate on him. But let's talk about this Judas. What would be another way of saying this name Judas? No, come on. Thaddeus and Labaius. Someone get on my wavelength.
Brother of James.
Yes, okay. Son of Alphaeus. Why would you call him the son of Alphaeus?
He's the brother of James.
But which James?
The son of Alphaeus.
But see, maybe he's not. But not the brother of John. But might he be the brother of Jesus?
No.
Because Jesus had a brother named James.
Jude.
Turn to, let's do this quickly now. Turn to Jude. Jude is another way of saying Judas. Jude now will be right before Revelation. Little one-page book. So small it doesn't have chapters. All right, here's Jude. Look at the first verse. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. But which James? Is it? It's probably not James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. It might be James, the son of Alphaeus. But it might also be James, the brother of the Lord Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 2, chapter 1. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make here this morning, and I think I'm making it, is that we can have just as much trouble understanding fully what is being told us here in the same way that we could have trouble in communicating among ourselves about who did what. Well, Don Brown called the other day. Okay. If you don't have an opportunity to ask which Don Brown, then you don't really know which Don Brown it was. Now, the thing that I'm, some would take this, what I'm doing here this morning, and say, see, that shows you the weaknesses of the Word of God. Well, it really doesn't, and I'll tell you why. Because which James it is doesn't make any difference. I mean, we're dealing in idle curiosities today and so on. I'm identifying them as so. But I want you to understand that these kinds of things are not essential to our relationship with God. And they're curious, we could spend our entire lifetime researching this, but it wouldn't make any difference on what kind of person we became. It wouldn't make any difference in our relationship with the Lord. Galatians 1:19. Let's see if we can wrap this up. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now see, here's James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. James, the son of Alphaeus. Here's James, the Lord's brother. Acts 15 tells us that he was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. James, the Lord's brother. We believe that Jude, who wrote this, is the brother of James, the brother of Jesus. But we don't know. He may not have been. He may have been the brother of James, the son of Alphaeus. He may have been the apostle, Jude. And we cannot be dogmatic about that. So when you read your Bible and it says, you go to the reference section and it says, generally accepted to be thus and so, you know why those things are written like that, because it is not real. It's not clear to us. And we do not have information about which we can be dogmatic. Now, we can understand that Bartholomew and Nathaniel are the same. We can understand that Judas here, not Iscariot, but Judas, Labaius, and Thaddeus are the same, because we can use other scriptures to put that together, you see. But we cannot be dogmatic that Matthew, son of Alphaeus, and James, son of Alphaeus, are brothers. Nor can we be dogmatic that Judas was one of those brothers, because he was brother to James, because there are three James listed here. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Are you all confused? All right. Final comments. Quickly, briefly. Mary.
Over here in Matthew, over in the side note, it lists 12 apostles. But here in Luke, it only lists 11. It doesn't list the other Jesus.
Yeah, it's listed there. Yeah. Oh, down the side?
Yeah, on the side.
Yeah, but
in the scripture, it does.
Yeah. Well, you're just talking about the pointing to the references. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't make anything out of that particularly. unless you're looking for information, there isn't any given. Okay, anything else?
If you want to know the answers to those questions that you just proposed, because it's not written, then you need verse 12 in Galatians, which says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught."
Well, wasn't that the answer I gave Mrs. Schallenberger earlier when she asked me that very pointed question? Yes. I tell you, you want to shut off the discussion. You want to shut the discussion off, you can just tell it, well, God told me. God told me. That just shuts it off. I mean, how are you going to answer that?